Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson, and in this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Selena and Jacob Taylor, the couple behind the massively popular travel blog and Instagram account of the same name, Find Us Lost. Now, I originally met Selena and Jacob back when we were in college together at Chapman University down in Orange County, California, where the two of them started dating and eventually moved up to the Los Angeles area. Selena was working in marketing and Jacob was doing freelance film production, photography, and working on a few other side projects he had going on at the time. And it was then, a couple years after college, that the couple decided they didn't really want to live long-term in a place like Los Angeles. So they packed their bags and went on an extended trip in Europe to see if they'd like living in Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, where Selena's family has some ties. Now, as they traveled, they began documenting their adventures on their brand new blog and Instagram account, where they were very quickly building an engaged community and started fielding offers from brands that wanted to collaborate with them. As of today's recording, Selena and Jacob have 152,000 Instagram followers, 16,000 monthly readers on their blog, 8,000 email subscribers, and work with dozens of brands on producing high-quality content. In this episode, Selena, Jacob, and I talk about how they made the leap from working in traditional day jobs to traveling the world and producing content for some of the world's top brands. We cover the biggest breaks the couple has had along their journey to getting 152,000 Instagram followers, including the exact tactics and strategies that are working best to grow their community today. We dig into their process for landing video and photo production gigs, along with often expense-paid trips with tourism boards from the Bahamas, Finland, and London, beautiful resorts around the world, clothing and lifestyle brands, and seriously, so much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Selena and Jacob from Find Us Lost. Selena, Jacob, welcome to the show.
Thanks. We're excited to be here.
I want to start this off the way that I've been starting every episode of this podcast so far. So my first question for you guys, and you know, you can both take a crack at this, or maybe the answer might be the same, but what book are you reading right now, or what's been your favorite recently?
Ooh. Okay, I'm going to answer first, and I might steal Jacob's answer, actually, because he's reading it now. I made him read it. I just read couple weeks ago, Beneath a Scarlet Sky. And I'm actually blanking on the author's name right now, but I'm sure it's easy to pull up. It's, I think, just made the bestseller list. But it actually made me get more into reading about different time periods, because it's a book that's loosely based on a real story that happened during World War II. And I just loved it so much. And it's been a while since I read a book like that. So I just got Jacob to read it as well.
Yeah, our compromise was I read that and she read Ready Player One and Mistborn Trilogy, and she liked one of them and hated the other.
Yeah, I liked Ready Player One. I didn't like the other one.
Yes, awesome. I love it. Well, I'm going to add the, you said Under the Scarlet Sky, is that what it's called?
It's Beneath a Scarlet Sky, and I don't recall the author's name, but I'm sure you can find it from that name.
Okay, we're adding it to the list. So, Selena, Jacob, where did you guys originally meet? And I want to start this off by saying that Selena and I went to college together at Chapman University down in Orange County. And I want to hear about your story of meeting each other, because it was not through Chapman, was it?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually a third floor Henley resident freshman year as well, I think.
Oh man, I love that.
Yeah, funny enough, actually. So we did meet at Chapman, and we lived on the same floor freshman year and didn't even meet then. So we actually met through mutual friends, but I don't even know like the original story, but
yeah, well, I mean,
we didn't overlap then.
Yeah, we met sophomore year, and we kind of remained friends, and then senior year, we started dating. And then I think it was kind of at the tail end of senior year, and then we planned a trip through Europe together. like a month out of college. Is that right?
Yeah, we basically planned a trip to travel together without fully making our relationship official. Definitely recommend. If you want to know if it's going to last, that's how to start it off with a bang. Yeah,
3 weeks in a car together, driving around foreign countries is a good way.
That's the real true test. I love that. So what were you guys doing at the time? You know, we graduate from college, right? You guys are dating, newly dating together, traveling through Europe. Are you taking some time off before jumping into the workforce, or did you have something else in mind?
Yeah, me personally, we did that trip together. It wasn't very long. It was about a month right after we graduated. And then I went straight into Los Angeles and started working. And I was first working for a PR and marketing company in LA. And then I just transitioned to a new company. And we were there for about 5 years. And Jacob, you can speak.
Yeah, I was kind of, I was working in film production and photography right out of college, moved up to LA, kind of worked in the film industry there a little bit, doing some cinematography and freelance work, but never really fully committing my time to that. I always had side projects and side businesses I was working on before we ended up moving to the Netherlands.
So this is very, very clear to me. It's very evident when I look at the style and the level of quality of the content that you guys put out that, you know, Jacob, you have experience with, you know, video and behind the camera in general, right? And Selena, marketing and PR. It's kind of like this perfect team for doing something like Find Us Lost.
Yeah, I think it worked out pretty great that way. It definitely, like, it started very much organically, which is why I think we enjoy it so much. Like, it really was a passion project when we first started. And I was the one who kind of was like, we should start an Instagram and post travel photos. And I don't know what could happen, but like, let's see if people start following it. And I didn't really know at all what I was doing at the time. And once I did figure it out, you know, it became, of course, even more interesting. But I would say too, it started first just reawakening my love for photography, because I didn't have the technical background that Jacob had. But you know, he kind of taught me along the way, and I've always loved photography and I've taken classes, but I've never done it professionally. So it was a great way to jump in and learn.
Yeah. And I'm actually, I'm technically fairly proficient, but I'm actually colorblind. Never really stopped me from trying to pursue film and photography. So Selena actually colors all of our photos in our videos. So like a lot of the style, the look is really her.
Well, trust me, it looks good.
Thanks, Ryan.
So I want to take a quick step back. Jacob, you mentioned that you've always sort of dabbled in side projects. Selena, I'd be curious to get your take too. Have you guys had any sort of businesses before Find Us Lost really began to take off? Or has this been kind of your first really big thing together?
So I, in college, started a business, a camera rental company, because I was starting to accumulate so much equipment. And I was kind of looking for a way initially just to offset the costs, but ultimately was able to turn it into a profitable business. And then out of college, I started a real estate management company with my brother-in-law, who had a background in real estate. And so I think that kind of gave me a basic foundation of starting a business, operating a business, and kind of put us into a good position, I think, to try and create this together. Don't you feel like that?
For sure. Yeah. Well, he definitely came from a background where he had so many things going on, and he was able to do so much. And I kind of almost didn't understand it. Like, when we first started dating, I was like, what do you mean you're doing this business and this business? And of course it was less mysterious as time went on, but I came from a very, you know, not even 9 to 5, like 9 to 8 PM background of working nonstop. And so I didn't have like the business ethics that he had. So he's taught me a lot of that for sure.
Yeah. I'd also say though, you know, I think there's a lot of, what's the right word? Kind of like a lot of people might be intimidated with starting business, but I think like now that you've kind of gone through the process and you've seen it, don't you feel like it's pretty simple?
I think the answer to this question, you guys, honestly, is it can be simple if you're doing something that you already have sort of like the interest and some expertise in.
That's right.
Which you
That's
guys clearly right. have with this project.
Yeah, and you just use QuickBooks and then you're good.
All right, QuickBooks, we'll give you that one for free. So, okay, you guys now, you know, you mentioned that you're living in the Netherlands, Amsterdam, to be specific, which, by the way, got to be one of my favorite cities in the world. So tell me about your decision to move there. When was this? What was it motivated by? And, you know, what did that mean for work?
Yeah, so I'll speak to that, I guess. So I'll give you the actual timeline. It was beginning of 2016 that we decided to pick up and move. And we'd been in LA for just over 5 years. And I was happy with my job. I love my job, but I was not happy in Los Angeles. And I was always itching to try living abroad. So I kind of put it in Jacob's mind that we should move for years. I kind of kept bringing it up, you know, whenever I thought about it. And so it was kind of the making of multiple years of me being curious of what it would be like to kind of live in Europe or live in a different city. And it just had reached a point where I knew, you know, I knew what I wanted to do and I knew I wanted to try it. And if I didn't go for it, that I would be bummed. And we were just ready for a change. We weren't living together at the time, but we were both living in LA and we started looking for an apartment. And it just wasn't what we wanted. The city was so expensive. We were spending so much of our time in traffic. We didn't have the work-life balance we wanted. So we were kind of seeking something new.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at first I was a little skeptical with the move to Europe. It was something I'd always kind of wanted to do. But then once it started to become more of a real possibility, it was definitely intimidating. But then I think at the end, once it actually came time to do the move, I felt like I was more excited almost. And then as soon as we actually moved and we got here, I kind of immediately fell in love with the city. And I really can't imagine living somewhere else.
And I'll jump in and say too, we chose Amsterdam because my father's actually Dutch and I grew up visiting the Netherlands and I just loved Amsterdam as a city. So it kind of was the natural fit for us.
Ah, I like that. You had some sort of connection to it at least.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did this all mean for work? What were you guys doing at the time that you decided to move? Did you have full-time jobs, part-time jobs? What was sort of the financial side of how you guys were going to support yourselves through a change like this?
So at the time I had several part-time jobs, a couple of which were my own businesses, and all of which could more or less be done remotely. And then Selena at the time,
I mean, I was in a very different position, so it was almost scarier for me. If I think that's probably true. Jacob's nodding, so maybe it's true. But I was working full-time as a marketing manager in a company in Playa Vista in Los Angeles. And it was hard for me because I actually really liked my job and I really liked everyone I worked with. And that's probably what made me realize it was time to do something different is I was content, but I wasn't at the same time. But I was working, you know, I was working average hours. I was full-time as a marketing manager. So it was a big change for me to up and leave. And I planned to quit my job and actually try and find work in the Netherlands. But that didn't happen because I tried to quit my job and they wanted to keep me on part-time. So I actually ended up working remotely when we first moved. And it wasn't until a few months ago, actually, that I took Find Us Lost full-time. I was still working remotely for them.
That is an awesome way to transition.
I was very lucky, for sure. I think it definitely gave me a safety net. But, you know, everyone's kind of different. I think it's totally possible to do the nomad or the working remotely lifestyle if you know how to build it. And I got very lucky with that particular transition.
I also think that you would have made it work.
No, really. He's really flattering.
No, really. No. I think, like, even if they haven't offered you the part-time role, and you had just moved out here, I feel like you probably would have found something short-term and then...
That's probably
like,
true.
No, I want to do the finest.
Yeah. Things did start to happen as we moved. So yeah. That's probably true.
I love it. So, you know, you mentioned that you recently took Find Us Lost full-time. Let's talk about Find Us Lost. Now, for everyone listening here today, Find Us Lost is the name of Selena and Jacob's blog, Instagram account that bears the same name. You know, you guys have around 151, I think, 1,000 followers as of today. That's when right. I looked earlier.
Yep.
And you guys publish travel guides. You release a lot of content, and it's all such high quality that it's very differentiated, I think, in this space. So what year did you guys start the blog, and, you know, what was the original goal with it? Why did you get started?
So I'll go back to 2016, which is when we left. So before we moved to Amsterdam from Los Angeles, we decided to do a road trip in Europe for 2.5-3 months. And that's when we started the Instagram. So at first, you know, I wanted to start it just to see what would happen with it. But it was also just a way to keep in touch with friends and family because they wanted to see what we were doing when we were going to be road tripping in Europe for 3 months. So I started it as like, okay, this is our new shared account. You can follow along. We'll post our favorite photos from traveling. And that's kind of what started the whole thing. So it wasn't until a few months after that that I originally wasn't planning to start a blog, but it developed into that. I had so many friends and other people that were messaging us for tips and recommendations from where we were going that I decided, you know, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to start sending recommendations, I really want it to be what I would want out of content. I would want really beautiful photos to inspire me to go. I'd want all the local spots. I'd want the best places to eat. And when we were planning our own road trip, I wasn't really finding that. I found things that were informative or beautiful, but never two in the same. So that's really what I was trying to create when I started the blog.
I love that it also started with people asking you for recommendations too, instead of like, you know, just firing off emails or texts with like, go here, go here. It's like, you know what? People may actually keep asking me about this. Others may have interest in this. And then that kind of sparked it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And yeah. I really wanted it to be, you know, something that fit for everyone. It didn't make sense for me to be writing an email that was every time for people. So I wanted my best tips in one place.
Yeah, you were probably tired of drafting Iceland travel emails.
I did draft a lot of Iceland road trip emails at the time.
That's hilarious. So, you know, fast forwarding a little bit, you get started with the blog. Do you remember, you know, how long it took you to get, because it looks like Instagram is sort of your primary social network. Do you remember how long it took for you guys to get your first 1,000 followers on Instagram?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see, we would have started it in March of 2016. We're looking at each other. It's funny, I wrote a blog post about how we grew. I was sharing month by month how we grew on Instagram and how we grew our blog. And I don't remember if I put 1,000 followers on there, but I would guess it would probably be 1 to 2 months after we started it. It was probably pretty slow to start in the beginning, but then it picked up fast from there.
Yeah.
I actually think 1 to 2 months is pretty damn fast for getting up to 1,000 followers. So can you dig into how you were getting followers and how it's sort of grown from there?
So I think I have a very distinct memory of the first time I actually realized what the possibility was with an Instagram account. And it was actually in the second place only that we had road trip to. We had started in Italy, and we had rented our car and we had road tripped, and we were in Milan, Lake Como, and then Venice, and we were just there for eight. And when we were in Venice, I posted a photo in the Venice canals, and I actually hadn't even been using hashtags at the time, which if you are big on Instagram, you know that was probably silly. I wasn't really leveraging people who could see the posts. So that was, I think, the first time where I was like, oh, I'm going to start using hashtags. And I, you know, was kind of having a conversation with Jacob as I'm posting this photo. And it happened to be reposted within 2 minutes by an account that was really large at the time. And it still is. Dame Traveler reposted it. And that was huge for me because I think they had maybe 100,000 followers or so, and we were at like 800 followers. And so that right away, you know, started bringing us a couple hundred people. And I was, you know, and so that to me was like mind blowing. So from there, I started being really strategic, and I saw that other people were using hashtags, but I, you know, felt like they weren't doing it in a way that made sense. So I kind of started researching, funny enough, like the, you know, analytics behind it. And I was really planning out, okay, you know, if this hashtag gets this many, you know, views or posts, then how can I strategically use this? And how can I tag this? And, you know, how can I interact with people who will see it here? And so it actually became much more of a strategy play, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's how we grew.
That first pickup was totally organic. They just grabbed your photo after seeing it and ran it on their account?
Yeah, and it was just one of those things that we must have gotten the most instantaneous feedback on anything, because I think it must have been just total happenstance that they saw it right after we posted it. But and then I had used, you know, hashtags for really the very first time.
No, so. I think what was crazy too is that was like one of the first photos we post on Instagram that was taken with a DSLR, not an iPhone.
Yeah.
Because when we were first starting, we were really just shooting for us and for family on the phone.
Yeah. So it was so instantaneous that it really was really positive reinforcement for what we had done.
Is this a process that you've sort of tried to re-engineer over and over again since it happened the first time? You know, find accounts with basically larger followings, maybe do some outreach or do something to try and get in front of them and then get your content published on their pages?
You know, it worked for a while. And I think Instagram has changed a lot in the last couple of years. So, I would say a year ago, it would still be pretty effective. Now, it's a combination of I don't really have the time to do that as much. And I think actually for them, I think it might actually benefit them to showcase accounts that were smaller. In some cases, it's actually an advantage. And that should help some people if they're just starting out to know that, you know, these big accounts, they want content that's original and they want someone that's doing something different. And they don't want a huge account that they're reposting. They want someone that's smaller that's just starting to get known. So I think it really worked for us in the first phases of our brand, I'd say.
What do you see is working best now for growing your Instagram following?
That's a good question. I will maintain, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's always being really picky with your content. I think that's just number one. You know, if you're not posting something that you yourself want to see, then why would anyone else want to see it? So just being consistent and always quality over quantity. I think interacting with other people is always really important. And honestly, I think creating just partnerships and collaborations with brands and other people that you care about. You can get 8,000 followers from an Instagram contest, but no one really wants to follow you after that Instagram contest. So it's much better to create, you know, long-term partnership with someone who's going to mention you and to recommend you. For instance, I posted a blog post the other day, a few days ago now, that was about how we edit our photos on Instagram. And I had another blogger reach out to me and say it was the most honest post she's read. And I wasn't, you know, filling it with fluff like other bloggers and then trying to sell something at the end. And she loved it so much, she put it on her Instagram stories. And we actually got a lot of traffic from that. So I think it really matters to put quality content out there and build relationships with people who are going to organically promote you too.
That is fantastic advice. So I want to shift gears a little bit now and talk about different kinds of numbers. So do you remember the first time that you guys got paid as a result of your blog and your Instagram following?
You do?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do. Apparently my eyes are dollar signs.
Well, it's funny because I do the accounting, so it's bad that I don't remember.
I do. I think it was... I'm trying to remember how long after we started our blog it was.
I'm so excited to hear what it is.
It was like 3 months after. It was for a lifestyle company and they had asked us to do an Instagram post and a blog post. And it was, I think we had about 16,000 followers at the time. And it was just, it was very exciting for us. It was a big deal. So that was 2 years ago now, maybe almost 2 years ago now.
That's awesome. And do you remember, was that something where you like went out and shot like a unique photo with like a product placement or something like that?
Yeah. So it was a fun one, honestly, but I don't know how much we'd do it again, but it was a skateboard company that had contacted us.
Oh, yes.
Jacob's remembering now.
Yes, I remember.
And we shot some photos in Hawaii while we were there. And I actually, the skateboards were super fun. And I spent the day with Jacob trying to teach me how to skateboard better because I have very minimal knowledge on skateboarding, but I actually do love it, but I'm horrible at it. So we shot some photos and we posted one and it did pretty well. And then things just picked up from there. So yeah, but that was our very first one.
Yeah. She was not a skateboarder or longboarder when we were all at Chapman. So she didn't.
That's true. I didn't grow up with it.
Fast forwarding to today, what is your usual sort of sponsorship or deal look like when you guys book something with a brand?
It really varies. I mean, do you want to speak to this maybe?
A little bit. You're probably better suited for it. I think what's been really exciting now is we're getting to do stuff that's so aligned with the trips we'd want to be taking and with brands and companies we'd want to be kind of promoting and working with, which is really cool. I don't know. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about maybe the past few?
I think our favorite by far are ones where we get to travel somewhere and shoot photo and video. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's a place that's new to us. So You know, like we just recently went to Finland. We just got back from the Bahamas a week ago, and working with the tourism boards and working with hotel companies, I think are by far our favorite. Anything that I think will resonate with our audience the best is always what I'm going for. And it's usually the stuff that I enjoy the most too. So of course that, you know, makes sense and it works nicely. So I think that's whenever we enjoy it the most. And in cases like that, we'll put together packages just depending on what, you know, the brand or the tourism board's looking for. And it can vary from everything from video to photo content to posts to travel guides. You know, sometimes they'll want their own photos for a marketing campaign. We happen to be there too that they want us to shoot. So it varies per project, but it's usually always aligned with what we, or I would say it's always aligned with what we want to be doing, because otherwise we won't do it. So that those are our absolute favorite for sure.
Okay, so two questions immediately come to mind here. Yeah. What is the breakdown of, you know, free product or free stays versus, you know, actual revenue that you generate from these deals? And then two, are you going out and reaching out to these tourism boards, these hotel brands, et cetera, or are they coming to you?
I'll answer your second question first. So usually, it actually goes both ways. I think lately, actually, we've been lucky enough to receive enough inquiries that most of them are reaching out to us. But, you know, in some cases we'll want to go somewhere and we'll just reach out to them and, you know, we'll be excited for a new location and we'll just kind of make it happen. Like we took a trip to Israel last month just because we really wanted to go. And then we ended up working with some hotel companies while we're there. So it really just varies on the project. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing to have inbound inquiries for something like this.
Yeah, we're definitely fortunate in that way.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, your second question was?
Our first question.
Yeah, what's the typical breakdown of, you know, do most of these tourism boards or hotels try and offer you just like a free stay or to comp your travel? Or is it like a more of a paid sort of event as well?
So I'd say actually that's a good question because it relates back to the other one too is, you know, if we're doing the outreach ourselves, it's not uncommon for us to just, you know, promote a hotel for a free stay, but it really depends. You know, we want it to be of equal value. So, you know, we're not going to go out of our way to do extra work for them, but we're going to do what makes sense organically for us. So maybe, for example, that's, you know, doing a story and showing kind of a hotel room tour in exchange for us being able to travel to that location. Or, you know, if it's something more in depth and they're looking for photo content, they're looking for video content, then of course that will be a paid you know, experience essentially, because we just want to make sure that it's of equal parts for them promotion wise and delivery wise for us.
Yeah. And I think like a portion of the inquiries that we get, so brands, hotels, tourism boards coming to us, oftentimes their request is on barter. Majority of partnerships that we end up actually doing are paid, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
What is like the average sort of month look like for you guys in terms of revenue? And I know this probably varies quite a bit because you have different sources. You've got the brand stuff, you've got the blog. But what's like if you had to pick a typical month, how much are you guys earning from Find Us Lost?
I'm looking at my accountant over here. He's got his eyes closed, so he's really concentrating to think.
I could open up QuickBooks right now.
No more placement. So I think the thing that's so hard about this business, you know, is like there could be weeks where we have so many emails we can't keep up, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, quiet for a couple of days and we're both sitting in there going, what's going on? So it's hard to estimate on a monthly basis, but I would say an average job for us now, we're usually not taking a job that's under 10,000 if it involves content delivery, and that's $10,000 for a project.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm...
Content delivery being a lot of content.
Yeah, a lot. Photo, yeah, it's not to be mistaken. You know, we're not sitting there doing one post and calling it a day. You know, we're shooting video, we're editing video, we're doing, you know, for example, like we're doing a 1 minute video for a tourism board or company. We're doing cut downs of the video because they want extra footage. They want to be able to use it across social channels. Maybe we're putting together, you know, a full package of promotion for them that's on Instagram stories, that's Facebook, that's making sure we intertwine them in our blog. You know, so there's so much that goes into a Pinterest strategy, going back and actually doing a guide after the fact if they decide that they want more content. You know, sometimes they'll want specific shots that they want to incorporate into you know, their website, for example. So we'll go back and do that. So it's, it varies, but it's a lot of work, but the best kind of work.
Yeah. And, you know, we started at a much lower price point to kind of get our foot in the door in that space and start building out that portfolio. And you know, like that, the price has obviously gone up, not just because, our following has grown. And so it's kind of grown with that, but also just, we, you know, we realized how much time and how much work was actually going into all those deliverables. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and it was so significant. We felt like, okay, we need to start valuing what we're doing and our skills and our time a little bit higher.
Yeah, you're saying that, you know, starting at around 10,000, and then you just went into so many different deliverables that I think that you guys are priced still like at a lower price point than you could be with some of these brands, right? Like, because these brands have huge budgets when we're talking about hotels or even tourism boards. They're government funded, right? So huge budgets and the kinds of deliverables that you're giving them are going to be used for a long time. I think that's such a like interesting niche you guys have stumbled upon, and the skill set too to pull it off. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. And I think for anyone that's starting to get in this industry or who doesn't quite understand it yet, you know, there's always the concept of, oh, we're traveling and having fun. You know, why should you even be charging? And it's taken me time enough to realize, you know, to price ourselves accordingly, because I see other people who price too high and I see that much more that price too low. And I think, you know, you have to value what your work is worth and your knowledge is worth. And we're ingrained in this industry literally 24/7. I mean, I go to bed sadly on Instagram. I wake up, I'm on my blog. So it's just kind of the lifestyle at this point. But it's, I wouldn't want it any other way. It's fascinating and it gives me opportunities that I would never stumbled upon.
And it sounds to me too that, you know, the package that you just described with all the different like video cuts, images, guides, social posts, like that to me sounds like weeks worth of work. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when all is said and done between the actual, let's say, you know, from the moment they contact us to the moment we travel and the moment we deliver everything, it could span 2 months even.
Yeah. And usually we'll have overlapping work too. So we might be working on multiple projects and deliverables for different brands simultaneously. And more often than not, that's the case, which I think is part of the reason it gets kind of stretched out is you also need time for the feedback and you need time for everything to get approved. So it can be consuming.
This is so interesting to me. But I want to be respectful of your guys' time. So I want to dive into a few of my frequently asked questions. Let's actually just start with this one. This one is really top of mind for me, both personally and because I know a lot of my listeners are wanting to go in a similar direction as to where you guys are today. What would be your number one piece of advice? You know, the first thing to focus on if someone's at basically zero and they want to start building a lifestyle blog and brand like you guys have done, where should they go first? What should they do?
I think the sooner they can figure out what sets them apart, the more they will succeed in what they're doing. Because I think there is a tendency for a lot of people to feel very overwhelmed by the competition that's already out there. And I mean, I still feel that pressure every single day. I see it every day. But as soon as I get caught up in that, it really sets me back. So it's really about making sure that I'm keeping in mind what makes us unique and what's our essentially our unique selling point there. And I think anyone who's just starting out just needs to ask themselves that same question. You know, how soon can I figure out exactly who I am and who I want to portray with this brand? And once you've established that and you've, you know, kind of paved your way, people will start to see that. And regardless if they have 1,000 followers or 100,000 or 1,000,000, they'll still honestly be interested in you.
Yeah. So, and I think too, you know, it's a very collaborative space. Mm-hmm. So I think people really need to be mindful of that and utilize that.
Yeah.
And develop relationships early on. You know, just don't assume someone's not going to give you time or not going to give you input or help you out just because, you know, they've been doing it for longer. People are very friendly, very welcoming, and really there is kind of a sense of like communal, an attempt to kind of get the whole community to succeed, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Great advice. What's been the most difficult challenge that you guys have faced growing Find Us Lost?
Going to bed before 2 a.m. Yeah, honestly, like What would you say is the hardest?
I would say from a business standpoint, the hardest piece is how competitive the pricing in the space is, and how many people are willing to do the same work for free. Maybe not at the same level in terms of the quality of the content. But yeah, just I think there are so many different people going after the same jobs that can be a challenge. But what do you think?
My response is going to bed before 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's so many things that I want to do and not enough hours in the day. But I think that's not a horrible problem to have.
Do you guys have any particular ideas or strategies, tactics, campaigns that you've tested that ended up being a failure?
Ooh.
I'm trying to think about all my ideas because I feel like Selena really understands marketing and I just don't. And so anytime I've thrown out an idea and I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. And then it plays out. I'm always like, oh, right. Yeah, no, there's a reason I don't do this. So let me try and brainstorm some of the past suggestions.
I'm sure there's been nothing. It's weird. Nothing comes to mind. And as soon as I know that we move on from this, I'm going to think of something that jumps out where I'm like, oh, I really thought that would work and it didn't catch on. But yeah, nothing's coming to mind right away. I think we've been careful not to, this is what I think some people, you know, do early on and regret it maybe later, or maybe they don't. It depends on the person, but I think we've been careful not to focus on and essentially monetizing right away. And I think a lot of people will jump into that because they're worried about making a substantial income and they want to make sure that they're, you know, essentially bringing in money for their business, which makes sense. And we took our time, and because we saved before we traveled, we were able to be flexible and we were able to just take on projects that we really wanted to do and not try and do stuff for the money. And I think that really makes a difference because the brand still speaks to who we are, and we, you know, we didn't do anything that we didn't feel aligned with. And in that way, it's hard to say if anything has failed in my mind, but I'm sure that as time goes on too, there's going to be more that I wish I hadn't done perhaps. But I think as of right now, we've just, you know, we've kept it true to who we are. So that's really helped at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment. So you guys, this is my last question for you. What's been the best investment you feel you've ever made in the context of growing the business? So this could be in the form of time, money, tools, products, services, or otherwise.
Ooh, that's a good question. We're thinking.
Yeah, take your time.
I think I'll answer from like a money investment side.
Okay.
And then you answer from a time investment side. How's that?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So I would say from financial investments, our fairly early investment in equipment that enabled us to do really high quality video, I think was a big deal. And it set us apart at a time when maybe there weren't as many people able to offer that. And it, you know, I think we can definitely attribute specific, you know, well, good paying jobs that we've secured to that equipment and our ability to deliver kind of that high-end video content.
That's a good answer.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I'll answer, I guess, from a time investment. I think starting a blog was just, you know, starting it early on was a great thing for us because I think being able to just own our own audience and have access to people who want to hear from us on an email basis was huge. I also think what a lot of people don't really know, or maybe, you know, don't realize from this business, is a lot of time spent during the day is literally just answering emails, because, you know, I get emails constantly, everything from, you know, business inquiries to people wanting to know about more tips for a different destination I maybe haven't written about, to, you know, questions about promoting someone's app, to questions about, you know, when we're visiting a hotel, offers to stay at a hotel, you know, tourism boards, other people who are traveling near us. And, you know, on any given day, I can get anywhere between 15 to 45 emails. And we recently, a couple months ago, you know, brought someone to help with that. And that's kind of changed everything for us, because a lot of my life, honestly, was spent behind a computer. You know, it's literally we're traveling or we're on the computer. So I think that has been able to free up my time. And that, I would say, is such a great investment for us, because we have someone who can essentially manage our emails and, you know, help us weed out what's worth our time to look at and what isn't. And I think once someone gets to that stage, that's absolutely something they should consider, because it will help to, you know, prioritize your own time.
I love that. That is awesome advice. So Selena, Jacob, thank you guys for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening where they can go to learn more about you and find us lost, everything you guys are up to?
Yeah. So I think the easiest way to stay in touch with us is on our blog or Instagram, and that's finduslost.com or at finduslost. And we do read and see everything. So definitely message us if you want to talk to us.
Yeah. We make an effort to get back to people efficiently, I would say.
And if you're asking for camera tips, we're always happy to help too. I pick Jacob's brain all the time about that. So
yeah, I'm a little obsessive.
So that's what we're there for. So yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you guys again for being here.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.